We're going to be in Daniel 7 this morning. Before we dive in, let's pause and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, you are awesome and glorious and great and worthy of our worship.
Yes.
Worthy of our attention. So this morning, give us ears to hear what you want to say to us. Holy Spirit, be at work in each one of us. Draw us near to Jesus. May we find hope and help and encouragement in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel 7. Back in Daniel chapter 2, we saw Nebuchadnezzar's dream of a multi-metallic statue representing four Gentile kingdoms reigning over the earth, reigning over God's people, all the way up until a time when a stone was cut out without hands and strikes the feet of the statue, crushes the kingdoms of this world into powder and grows to be a mountain that fills the whole earth. Daniel interpreted back in Daniel 2 verse 28, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Now here in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has a dream of four great beasts rising up out of the sea, a vision of four beast kingdoms stretching from Daniel's own day all the way to the end of time when the Ancient of Days establishes the eternal kingdom of the Son of Man. God is giving Daniel, one of his chosen people, now in captivity in Babylon, one of seemingly very few Israelites who remained faithful to the Lord their God, God is giving him a vision of the future. Daniel at this point in time has been in Babylon about 51 years. The temple has been in ruins for about 32 years. Things are not looking good for God's people. They may get worse before they get better. But there is a glorious future for the people of God, and the kingdoms of the world, although powerful and fierce, will all ultimately bow to the King of Kings, the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The vision of chapter 7 was given, it says, in the first year of Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the wicked king who 15 years later would end his reign in an immoral party, blasphemously drinking from God's own holy vessels. Daniel rebuked him in Daniel 5 for his failure to learn from the humbling experience of his father Nebuchadnezzar. Instead, he lifted himself up against the Lord of heaven. The handwriting on the wall pronounced that he had been weighed in the scales and found wanting. If this is the kind of ruler who had come to power, this is his first year, what would that mean for God's people? Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off. It was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And it was told, arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and behold, another like a leopard with 4 wings of a bird on its back, and the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Back in chapter 2, Daniel interpreted to Nebuchadnezzar his dream statue. He said in Daniel 2, verse 38, "You, O Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold. Another kingdom inferior to you shall arise after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze which shall rule over all the earth. Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, Medo-Persia under Cyrus the Great, Greece under Alexander the Great." Daniel 7, verse 7, "After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Nebuchadnezzar's vision, "There shall be a fourth kingdom strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things, and like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these." Daniel's vision continues. "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things." Whatever this last kingdom was, it was different from all the other kingdoms, and it extends to the judgment at the very end of time. The next verse says, "As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked. Then, because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking, and as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time." There couldn't be greater contrast here between the Ancient of Days silently seated in judgment and the big mouth of the little horn, who is ceaselessly speaking great things even in the presence of the Ancient of Days. He was able to uproot three other horns, but that whole final beast, horns and all, was decisively killed, destroyed, and burned with the fire of God's wrath in judgment. "And I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." Back in chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's image had feet and toes made of iron mixed with soft clay. And Daniel says in Daniel 2, verse 34, "As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold all together were broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." Verse 44, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever." The crushing stone of chapter 2 is the divine Son of Man coming on the clouds with great glory to receive the kingdom from his Father, the Ancient of Days. Now Daniel, in verse 15, as for me, Daniel, my spirit was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. You ever had a nightmare like this? You read what Daniel writes. This is disturbing. And I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So Daniel, in his vision, in his dream, is actually interacting in his dream. So if you have a dream and you don't understand what's going on, go ask somebody. It's a thought. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Daniel's troubled by what he saw, so in his vision he asks the truth. He's given the interpretation. Four terrible beasts, four kings. But we win in the end. That's the interpretation. The beasts and their reign of terror will be decisively destroyed. The saints of the Most High will be given the kingdom without end. Any questions? It's going to be bad. We win. That's the interpretation. But this didn't satisfy Daniel. Then I desired, verse 19, to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. And about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up before which 3 of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things and that seemed greater than its companions. That was weird. What is that all about? That's terrifying. Daniel is troubled by this uniquely destructive fourth beast and its horn, specifically the little horn that had eyes and a mouth and speaks boastful words, the arrogant little horn. It seems the scene continues to unfold before Daniel in verse 21. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them. This is deeply disturbing. This proud little horn with eyes like a man and a boastful mouth not only uprooted 3 other horns, it made war with the saints. And it won. It overcame them. Wait. I thought the saints were given the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Here they're defeated. What is going on? The little horn prevails over the saints of God, but only for a time. Verse 22, until. Great word. Until. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Okay, so the saints do possess the kingdom, but in the meantime, there's trouble. There is persecution in store for the people of God. We are not always victorious in the short term. The 3 Hebrews who refused to bow to the image were thrown into the superheated furnace, but they came out without even the smell of smoke. Daniel, who would not cease praying to the one true God, was thrown into the den of hungry lions, but the Lord shut the mouth of those lions and he came out without a scratch. In both cases, pagan kings gave glory to God. But this will not always be the case. Not every king will willingly bow the knee to Jesus. Many followers of Jesus have been burned to death, devoured by lions. Our brothers and sisters today are persecuted in many places around the world. But God promises to be with us in the fire. and he will honor those who resolve, even if he does not deliver us. We will not serve your gods or worship the image you have set up. In Daniel's vision, the arrogant little horn makes war with the saints and overcomes them. Evil wins. Wickedness prevails. The saints are defeated. Until the Ancient of Days comes, until every wrong is righted and justice is brought about decisively. More interpretation is given, verse 23. Thus he said, as for the four beasts, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. It shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the ten horns, out of this kingdom ten kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down three kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law, and they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. This fourth kingdom is different, devouring, trampling, crushing. The ten horns are ten contemporaneous kings that arise out of this kingdom. Another blasphemous king will arise after them and put down three of those kings. This coming king, this arrogant one, will speak against the Most High, blasphemous words against God, and he shall wear out the saints. This word wear out means to afflict, literally, specifically in a mental sense, to wear down mentally. This one will intend to usurp the authority of God, who alone changes times and seasons, removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Daniel 2:21. That is God's job, to change the times and the seasons. This one intends to usurp that God-given authority. And the saints of God will be given by God into his hand. Do you see that in the text? The saints will be given by God into the hand of this one. In chapter 1, God gave the king of Judah into Nebuchadnezzar's hand. Because of disobedience, because of sin, in order to discipline, in order to refine, in order to purify, in order to work all things together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, in order to display his own glory, because he's God, he gives the saints into the hand of this evil one. But they're given into his hand only for a set, fixed amount of time. For a time, times, and half a time. Back in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar was given the heart of a beast until 7 times passed over him, likely 7 years. That's the normal use of that word. The designated period here is a time, times, and half a time. 3.5 periods of time. 1 time, 2 times, and a half a time. This whole scene seems to overlap with what we read in Revelation chapter 13. We'll look there for a moment. Revelation 13 verse 1. I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, Its feet were like a bear's. Its mouth was like a lion's mouth. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great authority. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed, and the whole earth marveled. And they followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who can fight against it?" And the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words. And it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it, everyone whose name was not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to be taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword, with the sword he will be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. In Daniel's vision, the prior beasts were allowed to live on for a season in the succeeding beasts until the final beast is decisively destroyed. This beast in Revelation is a composite beast consisting of characteristics of the lion, the bear, and the leopard, three of those beasts from Daniel's vision. This beast, too, was given a mouth uttering proud, blasphemous words. It was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. Which, if you do the math, equals 3.5 years. It was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. That's what Daniel said. Some will be taken captive. Some will be slain. The saints are called to persevere whatever comes. This seems to be the same period of time spoken of in Revelation chapter 12, where the woman Israel is nourished for a time, times, and half a time, or 1,260 days, which is 42 30-day lunar months, while the dragon made war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. All the fury of hell will be unleashed on the saints of God. And God will give the saints into the hand of the evil one. They will be defeated, but only for a time, times, and half a time. God reveals these things to us so we will be prepared. Jesus said this in John chapter 16. Verse 1, he says, "They hated me, they're going to hate you." He said, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering a service to God. But I've said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Here's the end of Daniel's vision. Remember the until? Saints will be given over into his power for a time, times, and half a time, until. Daniel 7:26, "But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me. My color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Four times in this chapter, it is reaffirmed that although the beast will be terrible, his persecution of the saints will be real. The kingdom of the coming Son of Man, which is the kingdom which is given to the saints, will never end. Four times he repeats, he reminds us. You want to know the interpretation? It's going to be bad. We win in the end. That's the main point. What's the point? Well, we looked last time at Romans chapter 8 about the inheritance we have as adopted children, saints of the Most High. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. We are fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. How much do you treasure your relationship with the Son of Man? How much do you treasure your relationship with the Son of Man? Is it enough to outweigh the sufferings of this present time? Let's pray. Father, help us. We naturally want to avoid suffering. We are naturally inclined to seek our own comfort and ease. Help us to learn from the three Hebrews who refused to bow that any risk is worth it, rather than denying who you are. Help us to learn from Daniel, who would not neglect to bow his knee to the one true God, because you are worthy. A relationship with you is better, and a den of lions is not worth comparing to the fellowship that we enjoy with the one who died and lives again, who loved us to the end. God, help us. Help us to so deeply enjoy today our blood-bought relationship with the God who lives, that any risk we might take as followers of you seems a trifle, trivial, light, and momentary. And thank you that you promise that although suffering will come, it has a time limit. It is short. And we get to enjoy you forever, forever and ever. That is our blood-bought right as adopted children of the King of Kings. Help us to treasure our birthright. as born-again sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you, Jesus, for purchasing us, people, as your own treasured possession from every tribe and tongue and people group and nation, to be yours, to enjoy relationship with you forever. Thank you for what you did on the cross. Jesus, keep our eyes fixed on you. And give us what we need to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We ask it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to celebrate communion. I'm going to invite some of the men to come and prepare to serve you. We have bread and juice, which are simple things, simple reminders that Jesus gave us. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Remember what I came to do, that I came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down my life for the sheep, to buy us, to purchase us, to belong to him. What a treasure we have to belong to God, and it is all because of the cross. It is all because Jesus, the divine Son of God, became human, real flesh and blood, so that he, as a human, could stand in my place. Take my guilt, take my shame, take my sin, take the punishment that I rightly deserve. Take the just, fiery wrath of a holy God against my rebellion, against my self-centeredness, and absorb that in full, so that justice is fully satisfied and mercy can be poured out on a sinner like me. Let's treasure that together. Treasure the gospel together. The good news that Jesus died to set me free from the penalty, from the power, from the presence of sin in my life, so that I can live for his glory, live to enjoy him, live to please him. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, and he expressed that love on a cross outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Let's savor his love for us together, his body broken for you. His blood poured out to wash you clean. Thank you, Jesus.